Let's open our Bibles tonight to the Gospel of John, John chapter 5. And I'm going to start tonight a new direction, a new series. I don't know how long it's going to take me to do this. But I'm going to start it. And if I get tired, I'll quit. Start something else. There's a lot. And I want to start a series of Wednesday night Bible studies on the pictures of Christ that are found in the Bible. We're going to start back in Genesis, and we'll just kind of work our way through and look at pictures of Christ. Now, it is not going to be exhaustive. I can go ahead and tell you that right now, because there would be no limit to it. I would die of old age before we ever got out of the book of Genesis. But I think it'll be interesting for you. And I'm going to start tonight by laying a little foundation and show you what the Lord Jesus said about the Bible, what He said about the Bible. And He basically says that everything in this Bible is about Him. All right? It's about Him. Now, pictures abound in the Bible. Pictures of Christ abound in the Bible. And you will see that, I hope, before we leave here tonight. All right, so look at John chapter 5, and I'll start reading in verse 36. The Lord Jesus says, "But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of," what?
Me.
There he said it, right there. He said, this book, the scriptures, which is what is contained in our Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of the Revelation. Those books are the scriptures. And he said to these Pharisees in this 39th verse, "You guys search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." He said, everything in this Bible is about me, and you've missed it. Now, isn't that sad? I'm going to preach a sermon in a couple of weeks. I'm working on it now. But I'm going to preach a sermon in a couple of weeks. Well, I shouldn't tell you what it is, should I? But I'm going to preach a sermon about Abraham. And when he was living in the land of the Chaldeans, and they then moved to Haran, and here was Abraham in the midst of all of this ungodliness and all of this wickedness, and the Lord reached down and called him out of that. And he obeyed. He obeyed the word. And so from Abraham, basically the three major monotheistic religions in the world have Abraham as their father. All right, you've got Judaism, and he is the father of the Jews, and then you've got Christianity, and the genealogy of Christ goes to great length to take you back to Abraham and show you that the Lord Jesus Christ came from Abraham. And so Christianity goes back to Abraham. Abraham is mentioned more than anybody else in the Bible, any other man, more than Moses, more than David. Abraham is the foundation stone so far as Christianity and Judaism goes. And then, ironically, the Muslims say that Abraham is their father. Of course, that comes through Ishmael and out the other side of the tent flap there. But nonetheless, they claim that that Abraham is their father. And so here is all this religion. Here is all this knowledge of the scriptures. But yet, just like the Pharisees, they missed it. They missed it. Why? Because the Bible, Jesus said, testifies of me. All right? Look at that 39th verse. And they are they which testify of me. Now, he said in verse 40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Look down at verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. So here he's saying, you know the law of Moses frontwards and backwards. You think that knowledge of the law and all your little do's and don'ts is going to merit you eternal life, and you are dead wrong. And Moses is going to stand and accuse you and pronounce you guilty. Verse 46, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. Why? For he wrote of me. It's all about Jesus, folks. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? All right, so we're going to take our time tonight and look at the picture of Christ. The picture of Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask you now to bless and help us tonight and give us understanding of what we're about to hear. Help us to see the truth that is going to be presented tonight, the truth of your word. And I pray that you will help me to say what I need to say and to be clear. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will be the teacher and just guide and direct our thoughts tonight. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is a book of pictures. It is a book filled with pictures. You say, but Pastor, I don't have any pictures in my Bible. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of picture. I'm talking about a picture that is made with words. I don't mean by a book of pictures that your Bible is filled with visual drawings or that it's illustrated with drawings, but I do believe that the Bible is a wonderful book of pictures. You see, there are two types of pictures. First, there are those which have been drawn by a pen or a marker or a pencil or a brush or that have been taken with a camera. And these are the ones that we see with the physical eye. But then secondly, there are mental pictures, images drawn on the canvas of the mind and memory, which are put there by words, whether seen, read, or heard. I got home yesterday and turned on the news, and they were talking about the execution, the murder of that Jordanian Air Force pilot. And one of the stories was about how Shepard Smith used words and told step by step what had happened. And so I got on my iPad and looked up what he had said, and I listened to it. And there were no pictures. Did not see the video. I do not care to see the video. If you have, that's your business. But I don't need that image in my mind. And but I did listen to what Shepherd Smith had to say about it. Oh my my! Just so graphic, so detailed, and it painted an image that, to be honest with you, caused me to toss and turn a little bit last night, just from the words. And words can put an image in your mind. We can hear someone graphically describe some scene or some incident or some occurrence using words, and there is painted on the canvas of our mind a mental image or a picture of that incident. And even though it was not placed there by a pen or a pencil or a brush, these words are as clearly seen and remembered as though we saw what was described with our own literal eyes. They are just as real, and the image is just as real as if we had witnessed it ourselves. Now, our Bible is a book of such pictures and portraits. The Lord Jesus said so. He said that everything that is in this book is a picture of Him. It is, it testifies of Him. And only the Bible uses words to show us these pictures. The Bible uses words. Only it's not painted out. It only uses words to show us these pictures. And the picture that the Bible paints for us on practically every single page is of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you read the Word of God, you will find the Lord Jesus standing somewhere in the shadow of where you are reading. And you ought to read the Bible in that light. When you sit down and start in the beginning of the Bible, look for Jesus, because standing somewhere will be the Lord Jesus. You see, folks, the Lord Jesus is both the object and the end of all Scripture. When you get to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, it opens with these words: the revelation of Jesus Christ. It reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ, His second coming. Now, this is not only the title of the last book of the Bible, but when you stop and think about it, it is the title of all of the other 65 books that are in the Bible. For they all testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are all, in their own way, a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every individual book. Now, we did a synopsis just a couple of years ago, or last year, whenever it was, We did a synopsis of all the books of the Bible. And every Wednesday night, as I was giving you that synopsis, I would say, and here, here's where the Lord Jesus comes into this book. Every one of them had the Lord Jesus in it some way or in some fashion. Every incident, think of this, folks, every incident recorded in the Bible has a bearing directly or indirectly upon this theme, revealing Jesus Christ. Someone asked Spurgeon one time in a preacher's meeting, what was the secret to preaching? And Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that ever walked on this earth, said, well, you take a text and then you make a beeline for the cross. And that's pretty good advice right there. You take a text and then you make a beeline to Jesus. Another preacher of the past said one time, you have never found the true interpretation of any passage of Scripture until you have found in it somewhere a reference to Jesus Christ. If you search long enough, you will find Him standing somewhere in the background, sometimes clear and unmistakable, and sometimes faintly and dimly, but He is always there. And that's what I want us to do for a little while on Wednesday nights until the Lord comes back, okay? I don't see how it can't be much longer. Hang in there, folks. We're going to hear that trumpet sound soon. All right. What I want you to notice, Jesus Himself said that the Scriptures were about Him. Now again, go back to verse 39. Search the Scriptures. In other words, ye search. He's talking to the Pharisees, and He's telling these guys, you guys search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But you're missing Me. That was His argument. You know your law. You know your Old Testament law. But He said, you've missed Me. You've missed Me. And then He said, and they, the Scriptures, are they which testify of Me. So folks, see the point. Jesus Himself said the Scriptures were about Him. Now these guys were questioning His authority, and they were trying to find some area where they could accuse Him and have Him executed, have Him arrested and silenced. In verse 18, if you look at verse 18 of this chapter, it says that they sought to kill Him. Look at that. They sought to kill Him. It says in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Now, it's just amazing that got them so upset. But they couldn't see who He was. He said, you search the Scriptures, and they are they which testify of Me. Again in verse 45 and 46, He argues that everything that Moses wrote about in the law was ultimately about Him. So Jesus Himself asserted that the Bible was the revelation of Himself. Let me give you one more example of this. We'll just go back a few pages, go back to Luke 24. Luke 24. Just the last chapter of Luke. And of course you know that this is the Lord dealing with the Emmaus Road disciples. And in verse 25, it says, then said He unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses. Now, where's that? Beginning at Moses. Where is it? That's Genesis. All right. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And can you imagine hearing from the Lord Jesus himself? I mean, you talk about a clash you never forget. I cannot fathom that lesson that those guys heard that night. But notice what it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Folks, I'm saying that at the heart of the Bible, we find that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right in the center of it, there's the Lord. Now, with that understanding, do you not now know why the devil has fought so hard to attack the scriptures? Because in the scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the scriptures reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ. The battle for the Bible has been going on for as long as anybody knows anything about. The devil just does not want mankind to have the Word of God. Why? Because that's where the revelation of Jesus Christ is found. This battle has been going on for centuries. The corruption of the Bible has been going on for as long as anybody knows anything about it. In the very first century, when the New Testament canon of Scripture was finished, the devil got busy corrupting the Bible. The first century, folks. Now, they were first called Christians in Antioch. And then down in Alexandria, Egypt, there was a fella, a Gnostic, by Gnostic, I meant that he was an ultra liberal. All right, that's just a fair way to say it. He did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He did not believe in the resurrection. He did not believe in the virgin birth. He did not believe in the blood atonement, but he was religious. His name was Origen. O-R-I-G-E-N, Origen. And he had this university, he had this school. And he wanted a copy of the pure text. And he got one from Antioch. He had a pure copy of the Bible, of the New Testament and the Old Testament. He had a pure text from the church in Antioch. And as he sat and pored over the scriptures, he did like a lot of us do. How many of you mark in your Bible? Raise your hand. I do too. You write little notes, you write little quips, little things that make you remember something about the verse. I do that as well. And so did Origen. And I don't know about you, but I wear these out about every 4 or 5 years. I've got to get a new one about every 4 or 5 years. And he wore his out, reading it and marking in it. And the more you use it, the more wear and tear comes to the Bible. And his was falling apart. And so he decided that he wanted to get some of his students to copy in their spare time his Bible and make him a new one. So he gave the Bible to these students, and they sat down and were copying what was in his text, and the poor little ignorant souls copied his notes along with the text. And a lot of times they would edit and they would critique the Bible with his notes and sometimes substitute his notes where the Bible should have been. And what they ended up with was a corrupt text that was then copied many, many, many times. And it came out of Alexandria, Egypt. That text, 300 years later, was the foundation for this quick print of 50 Bibles for Constantine to give to his priest to keep them all in the Roman Empire and everybody in agreement with one another. No rebellion. No blow up. When he had that vision, you remember he had pizza with anchovies and onions before he went to bed, and he saw on the eve of a great battle a cross burning in the sky, and he became a Christian. He had an anchovies pizza vision and became a Christian. And so he said, I'm going to give all these preachers Bibles. And so they said, we need 50 Bibles. Where did they go to get the text? They didn't go to Antioch. They went to Alexandria. And thus, today, there are over 400 mistranslations that are being sold in bookstores as the Bible. And they're not. They're corrupted. You say, well, who would do such a thing? The devil. You see, if he corrupts the Bible, then you don't see Jesus. And Jesus said, the Bible, the scriptures, are what testify of me. And folks get mad at me because I take a stand for the King James Bible, which was translated from the pure text. Well, I'm not changing that opinion. And you're going to rue the day that you criticize me for taking a stand for the Bible. I just had to say that. So, please understand, folks, Satan's attack on the Bible is really an attack on the revelation of Christ. Do you see that? That's what it's all about. And this has been the devil's attack since the beginning. You remember in the Garden of Eden that this was how the devil came at Eve when he asked the question, yea, hath God said? Yea, hath God said? What was he doing? He was attacking the Word of God. His first and initial attack upon Jesus Christ was disguised as an innocent request for information. He asked Eve, just what did God say? Really mean when he said you cannot eat of every tree of the garden. But folks, make no mistake about it. What the devil was doing was what the devil does, questioning the Word of God. That's what he does. Now, folks, listen, don't question the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is the Word of God. You ought to be settled on that. And don't let anybody ever say anything different. The Bible is God's Word. Now, These are they which testify of me. When he said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Now, folks, let me just pause right here for a second, and let me say, now listen to me, Jesus believed the books of Moses were God's inspired word. Jesus believed that. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I know that because of what he said. In his 3.5 years of earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus quoted from all 5 books of Moses, the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He quoted from all 5 of them. All 5 of them. Jesus believed the historical account of the creation of man in Genesis. You got your Bible? All right, go back to Matthew chapter 19 for just a minute. Let me show you. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 1. Jesus believed in creation. He believed in what Moses put in the book of Genesis about how God created the heaven and the earth. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put his away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, watch this now, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? I wonder where he got that. Notice real carefully there what he said. Have ye not read? Well, where were they supposed to read that? In the book of Genesis. Exactly right. Have you not read? I mean, very clearly, he accused them of not reading the Bible. Verse 4 and 5 is a direct, literal, word for word quote from Genesis 2, 23 and 24. Hold your place there, Matthew, and go back to the second chapter of Genesis for just a minute. Look at verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And that's exactly what Jesus said over here in Matthew chapter 19. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning hath made them male and female and said, and for this cause, exactly what is written in Genesis 2. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So, folks, I'm telling you, Jesus believed in Genesis. He believed what Moses said. He didn't stand back and look down his nose at what Moses wrote in Genesis and say, well, we all know that there was a bunch of myths that were put into a lot of what's written in the Bible. No, it wasn't mythology to the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed it. He believed it. Did Jesus believe the story of the creation of man? Yes, he did. Did Jesus believe the literal account of the first couple of chapters in Genesis which describe the creation? Yes, he did. Do you not see what damage, what heresy, what injustice these liberals, these unbelievers, these intellectuals, these higher critics are doing when they stand up and criticize the Genesis account of creation and try to persuade people that it's just a bunch of myths and legends and fables that are in the Bible and they cannot be trusted? Well, wait a minute. Jesus trusted them. That's good enough for me. Paul said in Romans 3, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm going to believe what God says. And if Jesus believed Genesis and the creation of the world by divine fiat, well, I think that we ought to believe that just as well. All right? Notice also Jesus believed the record of the book of Exodus. Go over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, then come unto him the Sadducees. Now let me just stop right there. The Sadducees were the progressives of Christ's day. They didn't believe in the resurrection. When you died, that was it. That was it. They didn't believe. You know the interesting thing in the book of Acts and in the Gospels? Not one record, not one, of a Sadducee getting saved. You check that out. Pharisees, oh yeah, a lot of them. Priests, but not one Sadducee. Now, if you had no hope, you just thought, well, you know, you just live your life and die. That's it. No hope for eternity. You would be sad, you see. The name is fitting, is it not? And so these Sadducees, and here they come with their intellectualism, then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, now here they're getting all spiritual now, watch them. Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, are you getting all this? You're sitting there going, okay, brother number one, brother number two. All right, you see what they're trying to do? In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, do you not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Neither the power of God. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly air. Now notice that, folks. Notice that. Does it sound to you like Jesus thought that the story found in Exodus chapter 3 about the burning bush, which I referred to in Sunday's messages, do you think that Jesus thought that story about the burning bush in Exodus 3 was a myth? Oh no, he believed it, didn't he? He said so right here in this verse. Does it sound like Jesus believed that God was speaking to Moses out of the bush? Does it sound like Jesus thought, well, that's just a big fairy tale? No, he knew it happened. He knew it happened. Jesus knew the story because he was the one doing the speaking. He was there. All right, got to hurry. Look at Matthew 8. Matthew 8. All right, so Jesus believed Genesis. He believed Exodus. All right, now go back to Matthew 8. And I'm going to show you Jesus believed in Leviticus. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, where did Moses make a command about a leper who was cleansed that he should go to the priest and show himself to the priest? Well, it's in Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14. And let me read verses 1 to 4. I'll start, you catch up. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Leviticus 14:2, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. So here in Matthew 8, this man was cleansed of his leprosy. The Lord Jesus cleansed him, healed him. And he told him, you don't go talk, you don't go show your family, you don't go do anything, you do what Moses said to do. Where'd Moses say that? In Leviticus 14. Now, does it sound to you like Jesus believed the book of Leviticus? Yes. He told the man to do what was in the book of Leviticus. Jesus believed the literal record of Leviticus. So for any reverend or for any professor or for any doctor to stand up and criticize Leviticus and deny its authority and say that it is not authentic, that critic is slapping the Lord Jesus across the face and is calling Jesus either a liar or an imposter or a fool. And I don't think that anybody ought to do that. All right, very quickly, John 3. What about Numbers? John 3, you know John 3, story of Nicodemus. Story of Nicodemus. And if you'll look down after he said, you must be born again. And then in verse 14, he said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Where do you find that? Well, that just happens to be in the book of Numbers, chapter 21 and verse 9. Kind of sounds to me like Jesus believed that the brazen serpent, the brass serpent, was an actual event and that it was actually true. So again, the Lord Jesus did not believe this story was a myth or a fable. If the story of Moses lifting up the brass serpent on the pole and those who looked at it lived and those that didn't perished, if that's a myth, then folks, Jesus on the cross is a myth as well. The Lord Jesus invariably linked the two events inseparably together. And I think that I'm just going to believe what the Word of God says. Period. All right, John, you're already in John. Go to chapter 8 real quick. I'm done as soon as I show you this one. John 8. Our time's gone. I'm always out of time. John 8. All right, in John 8, we find this woman that was accused of adultery, and let's look down at verse 3. It says, "And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act." I got a question. How'd they know that? No, they weren't peeping Toms. They were adulterers. Look at verse 5. Now, Moses, here they go getting all spiritual again. "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" And then John gives us a little footnote here. He said in verse 6, "This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him." But you're not going to outdo the Lord. No way. "But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman, and he said unto the woman, Where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, there's only one more book of the law, and if you will very quickly go back to Deuteronomy 22, I'm going to show you what I think happened here. Go back to Deuteronomy 22. Everybody look at it. Deuteronomy 22. All right, now watch this. 22:22. All right, here's what Moses said. Here's what the law says. What's the next word? If a what? A man. All right, if a man be found lying with a woman, married to an husband, then they shall, what's the next word? Both. All right, now get the picture. All right, here's Jesus, and let's say there's three of them, four of them. They bring this woman, they bring her in, set her down in front of Jesus. Lord, this woman right here has committed adultery. Lord Jesus stand there, really? Really? Yeah, and you know what Moses said? Moses said she is to be stoned. Jesus says, well, let's just see what Moses said. And I think it's right here that the Lord Jesus knelt down and with his finger wrote verse 22. And they just stood there arguing. Well, that's what Moses said. Moses said, and the Lord Jesus stood up probably about halfway through when he said, and they shall stone both. He probably stood up right there and said, He who is without sin here, let him cast the first stone. And then he turned around and he wrote the rest of the verse on the ground. And when he turned around the second time, they were all gone. because they were guilty. What's the point? Jesus believed Deuteronomy too. That's the point. He believed Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Believed them all. Believed them all five of them. And he used all five of them. Folks, the point is, when you read your Bible, look for Jesus. Through direct reference, picture, type, allegory, prophecy, figure, analogy, you will see him on every page and in every event. Because it's all about him. It's all about him.